Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, April the 17th, and welcome to our commentary. Well, the Mallorca impeachment trial, I guess, is going down the partisan lines, and that's what it appears. The first article was, dismissed along party lines, 51-48. Now, the reason it was only 48 on the Republican side is because Lisa Murkowski decided to vote present. She's the senator from Alaska. I've never understood why a member of the Senate would vote present on an issue like this. I mean, you're either yes or no. So with all due respect to the lady senator from Alaska, I don't know why you would vote that way. But she did, so it came down 51-48. None of the Democrats apparently want to see this debate. They don't want to hear this debate. They don't want to hear the case against Secretary Mayorkas. Now, there is a second article, and we'll see what happens. But that one, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes down the same route. But, you know, everything is partisan. Everything is partisan. Everything is along party lines. And that's what making, you know, that's just poisoning the water more and more and more. And I just hope Democrats understand that they will be on the other side of these debates or on the other side of these issues. And they are setting, I believe, a very terrible precedent for when this happens the other way. I mean, there's a reason that the Senate could hold a trial and he could be found not guilty. That's what they should do. They should have a trial and then find them not guilty. And all the Democrats who want to vote in favor of not guilty can do so publicly. But I think the real issue here is that there's a lot of Democrats who don't want to vote. They don't want to touch this issue with a 10-foot pole, particularly up in Montana, up in Ohio, and there may be a few others who simply don't want to touch this at all. They don't want to be involved one bit in any debate, if you will, of what is going on in the border. So I think it's a bad day. I think it's a bad day. They should have had a trial. And if you don't think he's guilty, vote that way. That's the way it should have gone down. But, you know, that is the way it is. Well, a big story today, of course, is what's happening over at NPR. You know, this fellow, Mr. Berliner, who he's the one who wrote that article criticizing NPR for not being balanced and pointing out the way they had covered, for example, the Russia hoax story, the laptop story, and the incredible lack of diversity, political diversity, let's say, over at NPR. So he had written that article, and everybody at NPR was pretty angry at him. Now, I was hoping that NPR would sort of sit back a little bit and say, you know what? He's got a point, and we're going to try to be more bipartisan. We're going to try to maybe change a little bit the composition of our staff, maybe have a little bit more diversity. I don't mean background and gender and color of skin. I mean political diversity. Maybe hire a few more Republicans to work in your editorial department. No, they came out and they went after this man like he had violated something. And eventually, Mr. Berliner today has decided to resign. He's leaving. He says, I can't be a part of this. And what happens to him, I don't know. I'm sure that he'll be able to get another job. But I think this is a great loss for NPR, because NPR had a great opportunity after he wrote that article to sort of come clean and say, you know what? Yes, we've been too much one side, and we're going to try to do better. Maybe we're going to change a bit of our leadership and gain the credibility of the American people. I think what is happening now, and I've got a post about this coming out Thursday morning, I believe that there's going to be a move to defund NPR. Now, to be fair, NPR and PBS, to be fair, they keep telling us that it's not that much money, that they don't get that much money from the taxpayer. That's what they say. So if that's the case, then there shouldn't be any concern on their part about, you know, defunding some of the money. But I really believe that if you're going to position yourself as public radio, and you're going to be, in a sense, information-oriented, then that's what you should be. You shouldn't be so partisan in your coverage. And the lady who's the head of NPR, I think her last name is Maher, M-A-H-E-R, no relation to the, I don't think, related to the famous host of that show on Showtime. But, you know, she's coming out. She's got a long history of tweets against Trump and against, I mean, she's a classic woke person. And that's not the kind of person you should have in the position of leadership in a news organization that is pretending to be balanced. Now, if you want to say we're the liberal organization, that's fine. That's one thing. I don't care if they are. As I've written many times, I don't care if NPR wants to be liberal. Just, you know, admit it and don't take any public money. So I think this is a black eye for NPR, and I don't believe they're going to recover from this. I think you're going to see the same misfortune that hit CNN, hit NPR. That is, people are just going to tune it out. And unless you want to, you know, spend your entire day talking about Trump and spending 24/7 hearing about how terrible Trump is, people are just not going to tune him in. And that's a shame. That's a shame. Because I think in many parts of the country, NPR is at, you know, at least at one time, was the only source of news. Because a lot of the, you know, like if you're traveling in certain parts of the country out in the open, sometimes NPR is the only thing you can pick up out in the open somewhere. Because a lot of the university towns have, you know, an NPR affiliate. I mean, that happened to us many times. We were going from, let's say, Dallas to College Station when our sons were at Texas A&M. And there's a portion there on I-45 as you're turning to go down to Texas A&M, there's a portion there where all you can pick up is the university, the Texas A&M FM station that carries the NPR news. So I think that they're hurting themselves a lot. They're hurting themselves a lot. But, you know, they're the ones who are going to have to deal with this. And if I was an employee at NPR and I was watching this, I'd be pretty concerned, because I wouldn't be surprised if they have some massive layoffs coming down the road as more and more people tune out NPR, and especially as more and more people just call on Congress to defund it. And I think there's going to be a real serious movement now to take away whatever public money they get. Now, they continue to say that it's not that much, but then they don't want you to take it away. So I don't know. You can guess the answer on that one. But I think it's just a very bad day for NPR. That's all I can tell you. Well, I have a post over at the American Thinker today, Wednesday morning, talking about the upcoming Chicago Democrat convention and basically saying that I don't believe that the city of Chicago is going to be able to protect the people going to that convention. I hope that the governor of Illinois is going to put the National Guard on the streets. Chicago doesn't have the ability to protect that many people. I mean, cannot even protect people now who live there. Imagine hundreds, maybe thousands of conventioners going to Chicago. And then on top of that, the political situation. I mean, there's going to be massive demonstrations against President Biden because of Israel and everything else. And then even inside the convention hall, it's going to be pretty crazy. So I think it might be a better idea for the Democrats to cancel the convention in Chicago and move somewhere else, because that is going to be madness in that city. It's going to be madness. I mean, the city is broke. They don't have any money. The state of Illinois is not exactly swimming in cash either. And I don't know where they're going to get the money. Maybe the Democrats will pay for all the security, but it's going to be a lot of security that they're going to have to pay for. Well, Israel and Iran, the situation is growing more and more tense. And I think there's going to be more between these two countries. I think that Israel is probably waiting for the right moment to take some military action. And as I've said many times, Israel has the right to defend itself. And they were attacked. Thankfully, none of those drones or missiles got through. But that doesn't, you know, take away the fact that they were attacked. And they, what is it, 800, 900 drones were sent in. That could have been very deadly. That could have been very deadly for the innocent people in Israel. So I think there's more coming between these two countries. And I hope that the Biden administration is making it very clear who we stand with. We should be standing with Israel, not Iran. Iran is not a friend of the United States. And we should be making it very clear that we stand with Israel. Well, one last little note here from on this day in history. It was on this day in 1961 that the Bay of Pigs began. It took a couple of days. And, you know, of course, this is a big moment for Cuban Americans like me, more my parents' generation who lived through all of this. The Bay of Pigs was a great tragedy, because it could have turned out totally different. It could have turned out totally different. It could have actually been a successful operation, but it wasn't. And, you know, some of it had to do with the Kennedy administration backing down, maybe the planning. I mean, all kinds of things you can look into. But the bottom line is that it was a terrible day for Cuba, and it somewhat consolidated the Castro regime. And that was not good for Cuba, and that was not good for the region. And then we found ourselves a year and 6 months later in the Cuban Missile Crisis that would have never happened had the Kennedy administration gotten rid of Castro, you know, on this day back in 1961. So it's a little bit of history. It's a sore subject for a lot of Cuban Americans like me, who knew people from my parents' generation who were involved in that day. And they deserved a lot better than what they got. But, you know, sometimes history can be that way. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.